Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
The topic today, the discussion today, is a quick way to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very quick way to gain nearness to Allah. And what is that way? That way is abiding by the sunnah. Abiding by the sunnah. Following the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the shortest and the quickest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr with the family around. Before we go into that, speak a little bit about dhikr. Maulana Thanawi rahmatullah alayhi said, if one who stays in the house with his family cannot make dhikr, then he must on purpose bring himself to make dhikr at home, even though he has another place besides his home. And he said, the horse trainers do not keep the horse away from what it shies, but they bring it before such things to accustom it to them and to cure its fright. The horse trainers do not keep the horse away from what it shies, but they bring it before such things to accustom it to them and to cure its fright. However, when an obstacle is such that it is not necessary to contend against it, then it is better to keep a distance from the obstacle. Know this. This comes from Anfasi Ija, page 67. Put away the obstacle. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, explains this for us. He said the Mawlana has pointed out that there are two kinds of obstacles. One of them is temporary, and if it is removed, there will be no appreciable change in one's routine. So it is better that one does remove it. For instance, someone is in his home, in one of its parts. The children make a lot of noise, so that a person cannot concentrate on zikr in this portion, too much of noise. So he must select an interior portion of the house where there is not so much noise and there is a comparative peace. This obstacle must be removed, for it is possible to do so. Make dhikr within the home. But there may be an obstacle that cannot be removed in the natural life of man. For example, there is noise in the whole house all the time. The house may be small and no separate portion available. Should one leave the house and go to the masjid for dhikr, or go somewhere else, or should he stay at home and make the dhikr? The Mawlana rahmatullah alayhi suggests that the man must stay at home and make the dhikr and not go anywhere else, because that is a regular feature. Will he always go out of his home? He must accustom his soul to make the zikr in this unfavorable atmosphere. Unfavorable. But he has to accustom his soul to make the dhikr. He need not go to the masjid. Now don't confuse this with majalis of dhikr, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the majalis of dhikr, the majlises, the assemblies wherein dhikr is done. He spoke about that. For example, in this masjid, there is a practice after the Fajr Salat that we sit and we do dhikr. That is known as Majlis of Dhikr. So that is appreciated and that is highly recommended that you do that. And this is the advice, besides from the hadith, which of course is number one, that the Prophet spoke about the Majlis of Dhikr. Alaykum bi Majalis of Dhikr. Alaykum bi Majalis of Dhikr. Hold on fast to the assemblies of Dhikr. So that is a sunnah. You sit in a group and make zikr because you benefit from one another. You benefit from one another. And our mashayikh, our spiritual mentors, have also recommended that we sit together and make the zikr together. But Maulana is speaking, besides this, you must also make it a habit to do some zikr at home. To do some zikr at home, besides your zikr in the halqa and the majlis, you do some zikr at home and don't give it up because there is noise in the home or the atmosphere is unfavorable. Because a regular thing, which you will do so often, you can't leave every time you leave to go out. That's what it's. So don't confuse it with Anilias. May Allah have mercy upon him. An example, the Mawlana has cited the example of a horse. The horse keepers do not remove the horse from that which it shies. If it is a dog that the horse fears, they do not take it away from it. Or if it shies from a nose bag, they do not remove it. They accustom the horse to these things, otherwise it will shy from some other thing the next time. So will the man throw the children out? Once the horse is accustomed, it will no more fear those things. So we have to train our soul, get our ruh, our soul accustomed to our home atmosphere, that there should be ibadat there. There should be time for dhikr. And even though there is noise, if you can avoid it, you go to a separate room, an inner. If you don't have that amount of space, you grow accustomed to it. Accustomed to it. Slowly, slowly, you're going to blank out all the noise around you. Accustom the ruh, accustom the soul to the noise. The Mawlana, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has said clearly, that if one cannot run away from his house forever, then he must accustom his soul to make dhikr in the noise. Make dhikr in the noise. If he can concentrate in that atmosphere, then it is Allah's blessing if he could concentrate. Otherwise, there is no harm. Gradually, he will be able to concentrate and his soul will be accustomed gradually. Unconventional path is harmful. It is not necessary to seek an out of the ordinary way to gain concentration. Rather, that is harmful. One may try a little bit so that one can still concentrate in his normal life. For example, let him seek means within the home, but he cannot go away from it. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi has taught us from his experience with himself. He has taught us from that experience. And those whom he taught, and there were thousands whom he taught. So he has taught us from his experience. May Allah bless him. Otherwise, it would take us many years, many, many years, many, many years to learn. So do not worry about concentration. Actually, the aim is dhikr itself. Fadhkurullah. The aim is dhikr itself. One must not worry too much whether he has the concentration or not. Though a little worry is not out of place, it's okay, but don't worry too much. Someone wrote to the Mawlana, Rahmatul Alayh, that he was unable to concentrate while making dhikr. So he wrote back, though your concentration may not be as much as a needle, yet dhikr is not without profit. It's not without profit. Continue. You will get the light, the nur, and the blessing of Him, Allah, whose dhikr you make, insha'Allah. And soon, soon, concentration will be developed. But don't put the cart in front of the horse. Put the horse in front. So from all the different types of dhikr, which is the most advantageous dhikr? The Mawlana Rahmatul Alayhi said, there is more nearness, there is more qurb, taqarrub in La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. There is more nearness in that. Why? Because it is handed down by hadith. Allahu Akbar. This is a direct zikr from hadith. Afdalud dhikri, La ilaha illallah. Afdalud dhikri, La ilaha illallah. Wa afdalud dua, alhamd. Wa fi ba'd al-riwaya, afdalud dua, al-istighfar. The other azkar, which is illallah, 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 and Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. These are prescribed to derive concentration. To derive concentration. Through experience, the dhikr handed down by hadith, the zikr handed down by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is more compatible to nature. It is more compatible to nature, and so more profitable, more profitable. It is stated in a hadith too that La ilaha illallah is the most excellent zikr. Afdalud dhikri, La ilaha illallah. That's the most excellent zikr in hadith, it is stated. The Mawlana's quotation concerns the 12 tasbih, because those who take bayah with a shaykh and are in the path of tasawwuf, they are in the path of cleansing the soul and the nafs, and they are on this path, then they receive the 12 tasbihat, which is called bara tasbih, 12 tasbih, which is two, La ilaha illallah. Four, illallah. Four what? Illallah. And six what? Allahu Allah. And then one, by way of extra, just only Allah alone. But what Mawlana is saying, from all of these 12 tasbihat, the one that is most compatible to nature and more profitable is La ilaha illallah. Take your time with those first 200. A lot of focus and emphasis should be on that. La ilaha illallah. Don't rush that. Concentrate, because that is the best. And in fact, Mawlana Qamaruzzaman, one of our authorities in this science and this knowledge, Mawlana Qamaruzzaman, Damat Barakatuhum, he has brought out a method of 500. Because sometimes you might be a teacher, you might be a student, you have to go to school, you have to go to work, you can't do all 12. And sometimes you do four, you do five, and hoping to do the rest later on. You don't do it later on. So sometimes he has brought it down even to 500, which is what? Two? La ilaha. And because in La ilaha, there's already what? Illallah. And do you have Illallah already within that? So he has brought 200 of that and 300 of what? Allahu Allah, as a condensed form of the 12 tasbihat. Of course, if you have time and you're not very occupied and you can do all 12, then mashallah. But for consistency, it is good to be consistent with something that is small and then you grow. But from all of them, know the power of what? Of La ilaha illallah. Your focus should be on that. Real attention. Take your time. Don't rush that. There is nur, there is light and blessing. There is an incomparable nur and blessing in every round of dua and daily practice which are according to sunnah. Never ever forget this. There's an incomparable, no comparison, incomparable light and blessing in every round of dua. Whatever dua the Nabi used to make, you can't get a better dua than that. Incomparable blessing in that and nur in that dua. As well as this daily practice, which are according to sunnah and known to have been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have more profit too than the other practices and azkar. Religious elders, the akabir, have also taught many azkar, and we cannot deny their benefit or call them improper, no. But the light of sunnah, can be had only from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. Only from that you could get the nur and the light of sunnah. Some natures. Some people cannot reconcile themselves to azkar or means of remembrance handed down by hadith. They seek innovative azkar or the Durood-e-Laqi, Durood-e-Taj, Dua-e-Ganjul-Arsh. They seek these things and they just cannot reconcile with the Masnoon Durood's and Duas and so on. They incline towards these things, though some of them contain material unacceptable to the Sharia. However, some of these things do not have such unacceptable material. We're not saying all. Like for example, Hizbul Bahr. Religious elders are known to have recited it, but there cannot be a better dua. There cannot be a better dua than the Mathura or Masnuna coming down to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or found in the Quran. You can't get a better dua than that. They have more light and blessing, and the light and blessing are incomparable. No need to search outside. In fact, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made every kind of dua. Wow. There's a whole kitab of what? Dua in Mishkat, in Bukhari, in all the books of hadith. He had made every kind of dua to Allah, both for this world and the next. Both for this world and the next. Allahumma inna nasalukal afwa wal afiyata fi dinina wa dunyana wa ahlina wa amwalina. So we have no need to seek beyond the Mathura supplication. If anyone binds himself to make these dua every day and night, then that is enough. That is enough. And the same applies to the Mathura or the Masnuna Azkar. The light and blessing in them is unmatched. So, the path of sunnah is shorter. The path of sunnah is shorter, shortcut method. The methods of the Sufis are different, but they all aim to gain nearness to Allah. The result and the objective is the same. Their paths are different. Some are short, some long routes. Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, "We have observed that there is no other path as short as the path of abiding by the sunnah to reach Allah. No other path as short as the path of abiding by the sunnah to reach Allah." And who is Maulana Thanwi? Many of our ulama said he was the mujaddid. Was the what? Mujaddid of the century. Mujaddid of the century. An authority, not just in tasawwuf or in this science, but in hadith, commentary, fiqh. Wow. The paths suggested by Sufis are not unprofitable, and we do not mean to criticize them, but the quickest way to go to Allah is through abiding by the sunnah. Obedience to sunnah smacks of love. The reason for that is that obedience to sunnah, abiding by the sunnah, has the quality of love in it. It has the quality of love. The glorious Quran tells us, "Qul, say, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah." If you truly love Allah, if you people love Allah, "Fattabiuni," then tell them to follow me. Say, "O Prophet, O my Prophet," tell them, if you claim to love Allah, if you love Allah, "Fattabiuni," then follow me. "Yuhbibkum Allah," Allah will love you. So by following the sunnah, by following the Prophet, what's going to happen? Allah will love you. A shortcut method. The sunnah. It is a foregone conclusion that if anyone abides by the Prophet's sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the quality of love will grow in him. If he abides by the sunnah, then the quality of love will grow in him. And you know what's strange? The peculiarity of love is that the one who loves attracts the one who is loved to himself. That is what is so peculiar about love. The one who loves attracts the one who is loved to himself. In this case, who loves? Allah. Yuhbibkum Allah. You follow the sunnah, Allah will love you. So whenever somebody loves somebody, what do you find they will do is that they will attract the beloved to themselves, because they love. So they will attract the beloved. In this case, Allah loves you. So he will attract you to himself. And that is through the way of the sunnah. Hence, if anyone abides by the sunnah, fattabiuni, then he will become the beloved of Allah, yuhbibkum Allah, and Allah will draw him towards him. This takes one to the goal very quickly. The Quran says, "Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha." Allah pulls, Allah brings forth and chooses for himself whomsoever he wills. Yajtabi ilayhi, he draws to himself. May yasha, whomsoever he wants, he pulls them, he brings them. The result is that one achieves the goal quickly if he abides by the sunnah. Story of a saint and a king. Story of a wali and a king. A king was seated in the tower of his castle, of his fort. He saw a saintly man walk by below and thought that he might gain something from him. So he called out, "O honorable man, do concentrate your sight on me too." The saint said, "How can I direct my sight to you? The path to you is very difficult. Find a gate, go through a retinue of gatekeepers, and then trace you out." Wow, that part too long. The king said, "It is not as difficult." And he threw down a basket. He said, "Sit down in it. Sit down in it." He said, as the saint placed himself into it, the king's servants pulled him up. Pulled him up directly. Wow. The path to Allah. When he was there, the saint asked the king what he wanted. So now he's before the king. "What you want?" The king said, "Guide me to the path leading to Allah." The saint said, "Go to him. Go to him just as I came to you. Just as I came to you, you go to him. When I responded to your call that the path was very long, you pulled me to yourself. It is the same here. Allah says that if anyone calls him, saying that he wants to reach him, then he draws his slave to himself." Remember the ayat. Yajtabi, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi may yasha. Allah pulls towards himself whomsoever he wants, like how the king threw the basket down. Allah draws, another possible tafsir of this ayat is that Allah draws when the slave wills. Mayyasha, referring to the slave. The zamir going back to the mausul man, going back to the slave. The Honorable Dr. Abdul Hay, who was the Sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani and a Khalifa of Maulana Tanwi, alayhi murrahma, he used to say, Dr. Abdul Hay used to say about the verse, "Allahu yajtabi ilayhi mayyasha," that while the literal meaning of the verse is that Allah draws to himself whom he wills, but there is a possibility, an ihtimal, of reading the word yasha as applying to the slave represented in whom? In that mausul man. It would then mean that Allah chooses for himself, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi may yasha, anybody who wants to go to Allah. Samajh mein aayi baat? Allah chooses for himself one who wishes to be drawn to him. Where there's a will, there's got to be a way. The talab must come from you. Thus, one who wishes to reach Allah must call him out and ask him for his nearness. And he will pull him to him. He will throw down a basket, inshallah, and pull you up. The Qalandar's path, you may have heard of the Qalandar. The Qalandar's path, hence the shortest route, is the one when one is pulled up. That's the shortest route. The routes through mujahada, and devotional exercises are very, very long. You might get too old and still you find Allah. There is a saying in Persian that these routes are long and weary, but the Qalandar's path is what I seek. It is the route through love. What is the Qalandar's path? The route through love and following the sunnah. Love and following the, like how the boy called out Azan today. You hear Azan? It will grow love. It will grow love that will inspire and take one across the path speedily. It will be like the heavy railway engine which runs speedily like a light body when the steam drives it. The same steam of love will drive you and draw one close to Allah. It is a quiet path. That's the beauty about this path of sunnah. It is a quiet path. The path of abiding by the sunnah is shorter and quicker. However, it is not noisy, so that the onlooker does not realize that one is taking that path. If a man is making zikr, or is contemplating, or undergoing a 40-day course, the observer sees him traverse the path. You can see that, it's noticeable. But an onlooker does not know what another is doing, doesn't know if he takes the Qalandar's path or abides by the sunnah. Like when, for example, like when he is careful to place his left foot forward and coming out of the masjid and by sunnah. But no one realizes that he's abiding by the sunnah. Nobody even notices that. The quiet part. Yet he gains nearness through keeping to the sunnah. It is the same and saying quietly, Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. Saying it quietly when a cool breeze strikes. You say that to yourself. Or any gift that you have. You see a beggar and the beggar man doesn't have food. You have food. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. On any gift, and you say it quietly. Without anyone realizing it, he covers long distance to nearness of Allah. And nobody is realizing that. And besides that, it is safe from devilish temptation. That being so, he is safe from the temptations of the shaitan, like greed for wealth, opposition, pride, egoism, ostentation, riya, etc. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, bring about a change in yourself in such a way that no one might point fingers at you. Let not people say that you have changed suddenly. You changed suddenly. For that is a trial and might create pride and ego in you. Quiet change, a quiet change. Dr. Abdul Hai Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, let the change in you be like the child who grows. Like the child who grows, let that be the change in you. No one knows when he attained adulthood. Way, today is a man, boy. No one knows when he attained adulthood. Days roll by and suddenly he is an adult. Baligh ho gaya. Let the change come in you in this way. Imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Emulate the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That can be done by doing everything according to the Prophet's sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, the core of all the religion, its injunction and sharia is to abide by the sunnah. That's the core of this deen. Examine yourself daily. Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayhi often said, people imagine that it is very difficult to conduct oneself on religion and sharia. That is not so. Set up a program for yourself and take an account of yourself every day, says Dr. Abdul Hay. I have drawn up a diary by the name of Uswa-e Rasooli Akram, example of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at it every day and find out the things on which you abide by the Prophet's teachings sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those on which you do not. Begin to abide one by one on those on which you do not act, and soon you will grow into an adult. A drop of water pierces a stone. You not know that? If water drips, drop by drop, drop by drop from a tap, and a stone is placed below it, then one day that drop of water will pierce a hole in the stone. The drop of water does not have the quality to do that, and one cannot say which drop made the hole. You can't even say which drop made the hole in the stone. But all the drops together achieve that. In the same way, the deeds of the sunnah, the deeds of the sunnah may seem very small, like drops to the eye, but together they make the whole. The acts of the sunnah, they make the whole, and religion comes to reside in the heart. This is why our elders have chosen the path of abiding by the sunnah and not followed the other paths. Mujaddid, as we come to a close, Mujaddid Al-Faythani, very famous scholar, Sheikh Arif Billah, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, frequently quoted Mujaddid Al-Faythani, Rahmatullah Alayhi. He said, "When I accomplish the known sciences," this is the wording of Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Faythani, and Dr. Abdul Hay used to like to quote him frequently. So Hazrat said, "When I accomplish the known sciences," and he was a great, great alim, Mujaddid Al-Faythani. "So when I had accomplished the known sciences like Usul al-Tafsir, Usul al-Hadith, Mantiq, Balagat, Sarf, Nahu, Hadith, Fiqh, Tafsir, when I had accomplished the known sciences, I heard that there were some unseen sciences too, mystical sciences, which the Sufis possess. So I went to them and found out that they had four kinds of lines or chains, silsala, Chishtiya, Naqshbandiya, Suharwardiya, and Qadriya. Each had its own branches. I went to each of the silsala, chain, and learnt from their sciences," says Mujaddid Al-Faythani. "Not only that, I even conducted myself on each of their ways, and Allah granted me a very, very high station. Then I reached a station," says Mujaddid Al-Faythani alayhi rahmah, "I reached a station which put the ulama of the known sciences aside." One is the unknown sciences and secret sciences. He says, "But I reached a station which put the ulama of the known sciences, put them aside. The ulama of the secret sciences too were unable to understand. Even them I put them aside too. Because even the ulama of the secret sciences too were unable to understand that station which I had reached." But you know what? What was his dua? "However," says Mujaddid Al-Faythani alayhi rahmah, "however, after crossing all these paths, I make a dua, and inshallah, it will be accepted for him also who says Ameen at it." So if we say Ameen, it will also be accepted for him. My dua is, and we must say Ameen, "Ya Allah, enable me to abide by the sunnah." Ameen. "Ya Allah, keep me alive as one who abides by the sunnah." Ameen. "O Allah, cause me to die as one who abides by the sunnah." Ameen. Again, three duas he made. "O Allah, enable me to abide and to live by the sunnah." Ameen. Two. O Allah, keep me alive as one who abides by the sunnah. Like Ahini Sunnati. Keep me as a sunnati. And number three, Ameen. "O Allah, cause me to die as one who abides by the sunnah." Ameen. Mufti Taqi Usmani summarizes, "Anyway, there is light and blessing in the adhkar and supplication which have come to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This light and blessing is not found in other azkar. Recite the ma'thur darud," that darud which is what? Sunnah. "Today people search for darud of every kind, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us many kinds of darud. Alama Suyuti alayhi rahma has written a whole book on that. It is called Al-Qawlul Badi. Al-Qawlul Badi fi Salati al-Habib al-Shafi'. There are hundreds of forms of durood in this book. All of these are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no need to invent any with our minds. There is much blessing in observing the masur azkar, the masnoon azkar from the sunnah, supplication which is from the sunnah, and durood which is from the sunnah. Finally, the initiator needs to make zikr and plenty zikr, but the expert needs to recite Quran. The Maulana then said, Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahma, he then said, for the initiator, for the mubtadi, the beginner, it is better to be occupied and occupied with zikr. He's a beginner. And for the advanced, the expert one, it's better to recite Quran. In the beginning, one can condition his heart through dhikr. When he advances, the more he recites the Quran, the better it is for him. May Allah enable us to abide by these teachings. Ameen. And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abu Dharr, narrated by the Muhaddis al-Hakim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innakum la tarjiuna ila Allah. You people cannot return to Allah and gain nearness to Him. Bi shay'in afdala mimma qaraja minhu. With anything better than that which cometh directly from Allah. Yani al-Quran. The Rawi says the Prophet means by that the Holy Quran. But you go on to that when you become advanced, because first you need to cleanse the hearts and to condition it. وَآكِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh,